You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Felix Njini, good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon, my friend. How are you?
I'm well, Pastor.
Listeners.
Thank you very much, Mfunis. Really appreciate that you have been able to come through. I do apologize for all our interruptions yesterday. We didn't know, but we are glad that you are with us today. Are you ready for our question for today, Mfunis?
Precisely.
Lovely.
Yes, thank you so much.
Lovely. Well, are you comfortable with us beginning with today's question and then we do yesterday's question after we've done today's question? Is that okay with you?
That's fine. We can go ahead.
Lovely. All right. Our question for today, the person who sent our question, by the way, is like any other you. So if you want to ask a question like this person, you can feel free to send your questions and my producer will find you a pastor. And the pastor will be here to answer a question like Pastor Felix and Jean is answering our question today. Why is there no clear description of heaven or hell in the Bible? Pastor?
Well, that's a very a pregnant kind of a question. Yeah. But you notice that there are some descriptions,
yes,
of heaven and earth in the Bible. You see, like for instance, if you go to John chapter 14, verse 2-3, it's a common text. Let not your heart be troubled. You remember that text?
Yes, yes. You believe in me. Yes.
And then Christ says, in my Father's house are many mansions.
Right.
If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And then if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back again and receive you unto myself. Okay? So Christ, in a way, spoke about heaven.
Right.
Right? And in the book of Revelations, chapter 21, verse 1 to 4, John says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth.
Yes.
You get the point. And he talks about the holy city, New Jerusalem, descending from heaven. So there are quite a number of verses that speak about heaven. And there are some that talk about hell, like Revelation chapter 10, 20, verse 10. Where he says the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, you see?
Yes.
And Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, where he says, then he says to them that are on the left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. He's talking about hell.
Right.
Christ is talking about hell. Right. So here and there, we get some glances for us to be able to appreciate that there is heaven and that there is hell. So this is not some kind of a whimsical, an idea or an illusion. No, heaven is real, and hell is going to be here, real also. Yes. But now the question is, why is there no, precise description of what heaven is all about and what hell is all about? Well, I believe that that which the Bible has revealed to us is relevant to us for our salvation. Okay? God knows that, we are limited in our understanding of spiritual things. We are limited. There are certain things that he may not reveal fully, which may not be necessary at that point in time. As you know, that revelation is progressive. So that which he has revealed about hell and heaven, it is enough for our salvation. At least we can make a choice. Either to go to heaven or to be condemned in hell. We can make a choice.
So just clarify what hell is, Mfunis, because there is some contention as to what hell actually is. What exactly is hell?
Hell is separation from God. Separation from God. Eternal separation. Okay? That is what hell is all about. That's what it is all about. Where you are separated from God. And as a result, you perish because God is the author, is the source, is the fountain of life. So you perish.
I need you to be more clearer than that, Mfundisi, because many preachers, pastors, and ministers would tell us that sin separates us from God. Therefore, if we are sinning, we are separated from God. If we are separated from God, are we in hell currently?
No. There is a difference there. When we talk about eternal separation from God, and sin is quite different. When you are in sin and yet probation is still there, God is reaching out to you. You get a point? God is reaching out to you. If you are mindful of the grace of God and you reach out to Him, open your heart, receive Christ as your personal Savior. Then Christ is a way of dealing with
So hell is not separation from God.
But when we talk about hell now, we are talking about eternal separation from God. There is no solution to that. You get a point. So that's how different it is with sin.
All right.
Right?
So there
is a remedy for sin. There is no remedy for hell.
I understand, Mfundisi. What I'm bringing to your attention is the definition of hell that you have given that says hell is separation from God. According to Isaiah, sin separates us from God, or our iniquities separate us from God. Effectively, that means we're in hell, unless you're going to change your definition. That's what we're trying to understand. What exactly is hell? Because in the Old Testament, there had been some words that have been used. In the New Testament, different words. So just help us understand, what exactly is hell?
Hell is eternal. Get the point here. And I want the listeners also to keep track with us. Right? Hell is eternal. Eternal. Underline that one. Eternal separation from God. You get the point? Okay? But when we talk about sin, we are talking about separation from God, which is temporary, because there is a solution to that. It's a matter of our choice, right? The solution is Christ Jesus. Once you accept Christ Jesus as our personal Savior, He is the remedy to sin. But with regards to hell, there is no remedy. It is eternal separation from God. And because of that eternal separation, there is no life. There is no life in hell because God is the source of life. But when the presence of God now is withdrawn from you permanently, withdrawn from you eternally, so there is no life. So that's where the difference is. Right?
Where do we get these definitions in Mfundisi?
Well, from you know what theology is all about? Theology is all about understanding, comprehending the ultimate truth in the Bible. The ultimate truth about a certain concept, right? So what I'm doing here is to summarize what the Bible says about heaven and what the Bible says about hell. So when you talk about heaven now, it's quite the opposite of hell. We are talking about a place where we are going to be with God forever. And that's why Revelation chapter 21, it says, "Behold, the tabernacle of the Lord is with man. He shall be with them. He shall dwell amongst them." You get the point? So when God is with us eternally, right? Okay? That's the correct description of heaven. But when we talk about hell, it's about the absence of God. God is not there. The presence of God is not there. And what is the result? It's death. It's death, eternal death. Okay?
So, okay, let's try let's try it differently, Mfundisi.
Yes.
What words are we referring to here? In the Old Testament, there is a phrase that is used, which I'm not quite sure if that's what you mean, which is Sheol.
Okay.
The Hebrew uses the word Sheol.
Yes.
In
sure. Yes.
Yeah, and the Greek uses a word Hades.
Yes.
I'm not quite sure if that is the same thing, because also Greek uses another phrase called Gehenna.
Yes. Yes.
So all of these, apparently, with us lay people, we are using them interchangeably, but according to the meanings and the etymology of each of these words in Hebrew and in Greek, also Koine Greek, they mean different things. Are they all hell?
Yes.
Is Gehenna, Hades, or Sheol all the same thing?
Okay. Now, you notice that, of course, there are some metaphorical allusions to these terms. Like, I want to give you an example. Sheol in Hebrew, okay? Sheol means literally a place of silence, place of death. That's what it means etymologically. You get the point. Like, for instance, you will notice that that word is used interchangeably in the Old Testament to describe death, the grave, and the hell itself. You get the point? Mm-hmm. Because it's just talking about a place where there's no life. There's no life, right? And when we talk about life, the source of life is God himself, right? When you are dead, you get into Sheol. It's a place of silence. There's no life. There's no life up until the trumpet shall sound, dead in Christ will rise. You get a point.
Help me understand.
So that's it. But when you talk in Greek now, in the New Testament, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I wanted you to help me understand what First Peter means then. If you're saying that's a place of silence, a place of death, First Peter chapter 4, verse 6 says, "For this is the reason the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standards in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit." Well, help me understand what First Peter means there. Preaching to dead people.
No. It's not talking about that.
Yes.
It's not talking to about that. You know what happens with these, what you call the unity of scripture. You get a point. Scripture talks about one thing. If you explore a concept, a biblical concept, there is no dissonance, there is no discord in scripture.
Then what does it mean? What does this mean,
Pastor? When scripture is talking about hell, you get a point. It speaks of the same thing. When the Bible is talking about heaven, it speaks of the same thing. Baptism, I'm talking about, I'm just giving you examples of concepts, you know, second coming, you know, death, it speaks of the same thing. But now, if you discover that there is a text in the Bible that seems not to align with other texts, one thing that you need to understand is that the problem is not with the Bible. It's not with that text.
I don't want us to be very general. I need us to be very specific. Yeah. I want to give you another text also from Peter. Peter, this one is chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 19 says, "After being made alive, he went." Uh-huh. This is referring to Yeshua ben Joseph. "He went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, 8 in all, were saved through water." So again, here it appears though Jesus went to people who lived during the times of Noah to preach to them. What's going on? Is hell a place of death and silence or not?
You know, The issue here, I was trying to explain, you know, when I'm explaining, I was trying to make sure that at least we can move together, right, regarding biblical concepts. So that at least when we talk about now the hermeneutics part of it, the interpretation part of it, then people can understand better, right? So I'm saying, right, there is what we call the unity of scripture, right? When he talks about hell, there is a unity of scripture. There is no discord, right? But if there is a text, like the text that you are lifting up, you get a point. It seems not to be aligned with other texts. So what does it mean? The problem, so I'm saying the problem is not with the text. The problem, because all scripture is God-breathed, it is inspired. The problem is with the person who is reading, okay? That particular state. And that's why now we need now to dig deeper to say, what is it that the Apostle Peter was talking about? Now, you need to understand what he was talking about. First of all, for you to understand that, you need to know the state of the dead. Okay? What does the Bible say about the state of the dead? Does it mean if a person dies, does the person retain his or her consciousness? Okay? Right? Is there such a thing as preaching to the dead? You get the point? Now, when you study now the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, you will understand that the dead are dead. They don't know anything. You got a point? Well, that's another lesson. So what is happening here? Did Christ preach to the dead? You get a point? And that's where now the tools that helps us now to unlock scripture helps us now. We begin to kick them in like the Greek that you're talking about. You see? So we go back to the Greek text and find out exactly what this text means. So you will notice that what the Bible is talking about is a situation where the Spirit of Christ, that's the Holy Spirit, is referring to the Holy Spirit, right? Okay? The Holy Spirit who strove with the hearts of men, even during the time of Noah. And we find that in Genesis chapter 6, you get a point, where God says, my spirit will not continue to strive with man. His days shall be only 120 years. You get a point? So Peter there is emphasizing the forbearance of God, right, for sinners. He's emphasizing the long-heartedness of God, the graciousness of God, that the Spirit of the Lord has ever been there, striving with sinners so that they come to the point of redemption. That is basically what he's talking about.
He's still there, Pastor. The line just dipped there. All right, we're still trying to get... Pastor, are you there?
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, so I'm there.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to clarify, because remember our question for today is, why is there no clear description? And these verses appear to be describing hell differently from what you are describing it. If you're going to say hell is a place of silence and death, there is no way, therefore, that Jesus is going to go back to a place where there is death. There is no one there. If they are dead, they can't listen to a sermon. They're dead.
Correct.
They're dead.
Correct.
So we need some clarity there. This person needs to walk away from this conversation understanding how you are describing hell and heaven.
Yeah. In simple terms, I was trying to maybe let me just probably simplify things here. When you are talking about hell, you are talking about... when you're talking about heaven, let me begin with heaven so that at least you begin on a positive note, because hell is just the opposite of heaven. When you talk about heaven, the Bible talks about three heavens, of course, right? It talks about the first heaven, which is the atmosphere. Then he talks about the second heaven, which is the starry heaven. Then he talks about heaven, the heaven of heavens, which is the dwelling place of God. Okay? So the scriptures that I've given you, like John chapter 14, verse 1 to 4, where Christ is saying, let not your heart be troubled, where he talks up, he says, in my Father's house there are many mansions, and also Revelation chapter 21, the scriptures that I gave you, talks about the third heaven, the third heaven, the dwelling place of God, okay? And in Isaiah chapter 66, you remember where God, Isaiah says, in fact, it's God who is speaking. He says, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. So he's talking about the third heaven. That's the dwelling place of God. So in simple terms, heaven is the dwelling place of God. Of course, we know that God is omniscient, is omnipotent, is omnipresent. But this is a specific place which is called the dwelling place of God. Okay? And when we talk about hell, we are talking about a place that is characterized by God withdrawing his presence. When God withdraws his presence, what happens now? You meet with the wrath of God. You meet with the wrath of God. And you are destroyed. Okay? So in simple terms, that's the difference between heaven and hell. And right now, I know that certain times there are debates around the fact that, heaven, I mean hell, where is hell? With regards to, the place, particular place, specific place that is called hell. Where is hell? Is it in heaven? You got a point. Where is it? Is it on planet Earth? There are those kinds of debates. But the Bible is very clear about it, right? The Bible is very clear about it. If you go back to the scriptures, especially in the book of Revelation chapter 20, right? Okay, Revelation chapter 20, when he talks about now the destruction, the ultimate destruction of the devil, okay, the ultimate destruction of the devil, chapter 20 verse 10, which says, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And again, we need to unpack this forever and ever. What does it mean? Precisely, it means completely. If we go back to the original language, the Greek language, it means forever and ever means completely. So in other words, the devil is going to be destroyed completely. There won't be any trace of the devil. No trace of sin, no trace of the devil, no trace of evil angels, no trace of unrepentant sinners. That's what forever and ever means. So is hell existing right now? No. Hell will be there. Do you get the point? When Christ comes.
Okay.
When he comes and he gives the verdict, you remember in Revelation chapter 12, 22 verse 12, he says, behold, I come quickly and I will give every man according to his works, right? So heaven is for the redeemed. Hell will be for the unrepentant sinners. Of course, they will perish together with the devil and the evil angels, right? Okay? So it's described here as a lake of burning sulfur, right? The description is very clear, okay?
Yeah.
So they will be destroyed once and for all. And that is what hell is all about. So we don't have a hell that is burning right now.
Yeah. Mfundis, let me perhaps invite you to a conversation in the coming weeks where we are just going to talk about that. We spent 2 hours on these two places, hell and heaven, and interrogate all the verses there are about them. Right now, I don't want to belabor this point, and we've already gone over our time. I want to appreciate that you have given us your time today. Looking forward to our conversation. We were meant to deal with yesterday's question as well. We'll see if we can do that tomorrow. Thank you very much, Mfundisi. Yes, Mfundisi.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you very much. God bless you. Appreciate it, Mfundisi.
Thank you, listeners. God bless you. Right. Appreciate it.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.